Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our hearts with the heart of God. Please join our host, Bishop Etta Banks, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is Apostle Etta Banks, along with co-host Tabika Garnes, praise be unto God, along with the co-host Tabika Garnes. And yes, we are here today, praise be unto God, to hold another fantastic discussion with you. So good morning to you today. Amen. Good morning, beloved.
Good morning.
How
good
are
morning.
You?
I Amen. Am wonderful, beloved. I am wonderful. Thank you for asking. And how about you?
Doing absolutely fantabulous, feeling blessed all the while. Yes, ma'am. Thanking God for another day. Yes, yes.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Well, great and wonderful folks, to all of our awesome listeners, praise be unto God. You know, like I said, today we're going to be talking about something that's new to both of us to a degree. But we want to welcome, as always, Tamika Shelton, praise be unto God. Listen, listen, y'all, real quick. I just saw this morning that today is her and my 7th year anniversary or friendiversary on Facebook. Tamika and I have been friends on Facebook now for 7 years today, which means also that we've been doing this radio show for 7 years, because that's how I met her, praise God, and immediately hooked up with her on Facebook. So to my dear friend and daughter in the Lord, happy anniversary, friendiversary to you, darling. I pray that you're having and all will have at least an awesome, blessed day today, as always. And to her awesome mother, Joyce, thank you so very much for sharing your daughter with me. I love you and appreciate you. And of course, that means as I've known her for 7 years, that you and I have been connected for 7 years. And I thank you. So that makes you the longest listener and follower that Heart to Heart has. So congratulations to you. I wish I had bells and whistles that could go off and say, yoo, 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 and let them blow and all act all crazy and everything. But happy, happy day to you as well. Praise be unto God. And to Prophetess Dorn and Prophetess Kim and Isaiah in Chicago, Josh in Pennsylvania, Joyce in New York, Deacon Thomas Farr, my sidekick, who went ahead and got his own kick, amen, dealing with issues Christian men talk. You know, to all of you that follow us, we just want to say good morning. Good morning, good morning. There's nothing that we could do on this show without you. So thank you for being such a great part of us. Amen. Beloved, this is something you would like to say, hon.
Yes, ma'am. I just want to say good morning to all of our listeners, callers this morning. What a wonderful day it is. God allowed us to wake up this morning, so we want to take full advantage of that. And I just pray that he shows us who we are to minister to today, how we are to help somebody else or pray for someone else. So I just, thank everyone for taking time out on a Saturday. You could still be asleep or you could have decided to do something else, but you decided to join us, and we really do appreciate you spending an hour of your time with us on Saturday morning.
Amen. 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 Oh, my goodness. I tell you, I just truly thank the Lord. I am pumped and excited, just totally excited. I have been on this high Oh Lord, listen, I'm so excited. I'm about to start talking and forgot to pray. Oh my gosh. What am I doing? What am I doing? Well, thank God that the Lord knows me. He knows me.
Yes.
He knows I'm no harm. Hallelujah. So look, beloved, let's go ahead. Let's pray. Praise be unto God. So this is, you may have to calm me down, sweetheart.
Okay.
You may have to calm me down, pull on my reins like you do on a horse and say, whoa, Nelly. Amen. Yes, let us pray. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we do honor you. We bless you. We magnify your holy name. You are so awesome and so marvelous, oh God, in all of your ways. And there is none like you. You, Lord God, are majestic. You are beautiful. You are wonderful. You're a soul saver, Lord God. You are our healer, our deliverer. You are just, oh God, every single thing that we need that makes life worth living, Lord God. And because of you, Father, that we live and we have our very being. And Lord, I thank you for the sacrifice that you made on Calvary for us, oh Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that because of you, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And Father, I pray and ask you, Lord God, that every need that is on this line, Lord God, that it be met today. Where there's healing, Lord God, we call on Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Where provision needs to be made, we call on Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Where we need peace, we call on Jehovah Shalom, our peacemaker. Father God, we call on you this morning, Lord God. For it's because of you, Lord God, that we have this day. You made this day. And because you made this day, we are commanded to rejoice and be glad in it, Father. And Lord God, I choose to do just that. I choose to rejoice in this day because of who you are. I choose to rejoice in this day because of the very things that you have done for me, Lord God, and done for my family, done for the listeners, done for my co-host and her family, Lord God. Father, how you have taken care of us, Lord God, how you brought us through so many trials and tribulations, Lord God, how, Father God, you listened to us when no one else would, Lord God, how you went to the cross, you died and rose again, Lord God, died, was buried, and rose again so that we may have life and have it, Lord God, more abundantly, that we may have also eternal life in you, Father God. Lord, there's so many things that we have to praise your holy name for, Lord God, and for the man, woman, and child that finds themselves, Lord God, in a desperate place, a depressed place, an oppressed place, oh God. Father, you are the deliverer. Hallelujah, Lord God. You are the deliverer, Lord God. So, Father, deliver us this day, Lord God. Deliver us, oh God, from the pit of destruction. Deliver us, Lord God, from the spirits of rejection and hatred and bitterness and unforgiveness, Lord God. Father, deliver us that we may be great representation of you here on earth, looking at you, Lord God, and people seeing you, rather, in us, oh Lord God, and seeing the power that exists within. I praise you, Lord God, that you allowed us to use your name. You gave us the authority to use your name, which carries all the power that is needed to do the things that you said we would do, Lord God. So, Father, we thank you for this in the name of Jesus. Now, Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, breathe on us this morning. Breathe on us this morning, oh God. Breathe. Rain on us, Almighty God. Rain on us with the anointing that destroys the yoke, oh God. Those things, oh God, that kept us bound and imprisoned in our minds, imprisoned in our hearts, in our spirit. God, breathe on us. Let the breath that you breathe in us, oh God, and breathe on us. Let it break every chain. Let it break every yoke, oh God. Father, free us up that we may run this race. Touch our minds, Lord God. Touch our minds, Lord God. Take off the chains and the shackles of our minds, oh Lord. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this day, oh God. I thank you because it's another day to give you the opportunity to be just who you are in our lives. May we grasp it. May we hold on to you, Lord God. May we take this opportunity to be transformed. Praise God. Thank you, Lord God. Transformed into your image more and more. Father, I want to walk like you, talk like you, think like you, cooperate with your will and your plan, oh God. Father, each and every person on this line, Lord, we are all a part of your unique plan, Father God. Every single one of us, all of us play a part in what your ultimate unique plan is. Lord, let it be revealed to us day by day. What is it that we are to accomplish on this day, hallelujah, this day that you have made, oh God, this day that you told us to rejoice and be glad in. So, Lord, I'm giving you praise, oh God, as you reveal our assignment for the day, that we can walk in the victory of it in the name of Jesus. Now, Heavenly Father, go through the hospitals, the prisons, the nursing homes, oh God. Go through the domestic violence shelters and the homeless shelters, Father God. Father, go up and down every street that there is, Lord God, known to us and even those we don't know, Lord God. Father, let your spirit flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow, Lord God. Father, we're releasing the Holy Spirit to do, Lord, what it should be doing, Lord God, today. Lord, the prayers that are prayed by the intercessors connected with this line, Lord God. Father, they have released the Spirit of God, released him to do what is necessary to be done today. Father, we will not fail to give you the glory and the honor because it is not us, oh God. It is you and the Holy Spirit, oh Father. And so we thank you again this day. We thank you for an awesome opportunity to represent you to this world. Lord, let the remnants, Father, go forth and shout to the mountaintops about how great you are. For there is none like you. And no one else can touch our hearts the way that you do. We can honestly search for eternity long, and we will never find another like you. Lord God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, beloved, why don't you share with the folks what we are going to discuss today? And let me say this before you share. Folks, this is something that is new to the both of us, praise be unto God, and we are seriously asking you if you have any thoughts on this, any thoughts, any concerns, please press 1 on your keypad and join in the conversation with us. Also, don't forget, beloved, call somebody, text them because you're on your phone. So text somebody and tell them to call the number 657-383-0982 and join in on this because, like I said, this is something new to us, and we really would like to hear your opinion about what we're sharing today. So go ahead, my love. Tell us what we're going to be discussing today.
Amen. Yes, ma'am. So this morning we will be talking about millennials and their turning to witchcraft in place of religion. So I came across these articles, and they caught my attention because it spoke about millennials and they are leaving, you know, religion and their organized religion, and they're turning towards witchcraft and those type of dark places they're turning to. And so I share it with the apostle because, you know, I believe that this is something important. Not that anything else that we talk about is not important, but I feel like this is important in this season, in this day and time, because our young people are the ones that will be, you know, taking over, not just in Christianity, but also, you know, in different political places and different seats that hold power. And so reading this article, it disturbed me because, you know, I have a millennial, and he does not attend church right now. And so him not attending church, you know, somebody was to come up to him and start talking about this stuff and make it seem like it's nothing wrong with it, you know, would he turn to that? And so I just want to thank God for allowing me to come across these articles so that I can know how to have this conversation, you know, with my child, because he's at that age. He's 20 years old. He's at that age where he can make that decision, you know, whether he wants to follow God or follow something else. One article where a pastor says, it's a Christian pastor, he said that millennials have almost completely lost the knowledge of God. And for the millennials that go to church, that praise God, and they try to get their peers to do the same, you know, those are the ones that really don't care what people may say or think about them because they know who they are in Christ. But I know in some settings, you know, there is bullying and teasing going on because they believe in God, because they open their mouths and share the gospel and share the greatness of who God is. They at times are bullied and teased about that. So it has to take a strong millennial to stand firm in their belief in God. But if you have the ones that are weak and they don't want to go through the taunting and the teasing, and, you know, for them it may be easier just to go to the dark side, you know, go to what it is that their other peers are doing, because now they fit in and they don't have to worry about being teased and bullied about believing in our Lord Jesus Christ. So I just feel like this is something that we should discuss, have open conversation with. We would like to hear from our callers on today, because I'm sure that you come in contact with millennials at some point in time in your life. You know, you may have one. You may have a godson or goddaughter that is a millennial. So, you know, it's time that we start sitting down, having those heart-to-heart conversations with our millennials, because, you know, everything that they experience on a daily basis, there are things that they are experiencing that we never had to, you know, go through. And so what is it that they are doing that in their mind is giving them peace, but it's not of God? You know, when we look at this stuff like witchcraft and vampires and the dark places, the reason why some of them are turned to this is because it captures their attention. It's something that they can see. It's they're curious, you know, and, you know, I've heard young people say that, you know, that Christianity is boring, you can't do nothing, and blah, 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 because the enemy has basically told them that as long as they're nice, you know, as long as they, and I'm putting quotes around these words, as long as they're doing good things, that it's nothing wrong with them, you know, reading their horoscopes. There's nothing wrong with them going to those spiritual advisors and looking at tarot cards and playing with Ouija boards and see. But the enemy does not allow them or tell them about what the effects of
participating in these things. What happens when they participate in these things? You know, the enemy has deceived them into thinking that sin is fun. And I think a lot of it comes from the music that they listen to in this day and time. And, you know, the different rappers and stuff that they listen to. And it was at one point when Beyonce and her husband, Jay-Z, they promoted the Illuminati so heavily. And I believe they still do to this day. And that
yes.
has caused a lot of our millennials to go in that direction because they are following those that are in high places, and they feel like, and they see the effect. Oh, they got all this money. They got all this stuff. They're married. Look at their children. Look, you know, the concerts that they put on, you know, Beyonce is so talented, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's a lot of people that are worshiping these two people right now. And so in their eyes, those two people have become their God. So how do we win back our millennials? How do we cause their hearts to turn to, well, one, get them to turn to God, and for some, get them to turn back to God? Apostle.
Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, the powerful questions, and introduction to what it is that we're looking at. It's amazing. You said, how do we get them to turn to God? Somehow do we get them to turn back to God? And then the ones that are following God, how do we keep them, you know, following the Lord? And this stuff is so prevalent. It is so out there. You know, before, back, and listen, I'm going way back here for a moment. In the 1600s, the 1700s, and so forth, you know, going back that far, when it was thought of you being a witch and having these powers, you were burned at the stake. You were hung. Okay, witchcraft was something, you know, the Christian people tried to wipe out back in those days, and not just Christian people who didn't believe in Christianity but were afraid of witchcraft. They would hang you back then, and so witchcraft went undercover. It went undercover, you know, for a long, long while. And so now here we have it being mainstream. I mean, it is lined right up there with the amount of Christians and people that are following Christ. It is coming up that far, you know. And the thing that is amazing is the millennial age group, that age group from 18 years old, I think it's from 18 years old up to their 30s, maybe their mid or late 30s. This is considered the millennial group. And this group now is almost as large as the baby boomers. And we baby boomers, because at the time of the baby boomers, that was those that were born in the 50s and the 60s, during that time we had more babies being born, and it was the largest number of people being born for centuries. And then this is why this is why, like, everything that the baby boomers are attracted to as they became, you know, 20 years old and older, that we were the ones that were dictating where money was spent, what the part of the economic system would grow because of us, because we were the largest set of people. So when it looked at cosmetics, you know, when we got into the cosmetics, what are the baby boomers buying? This is where you put your money. When we got older and it got into the physical education, physical fitness, physical fitness, then everybody put your money and invest in, you know, the gyms and the equipment and so forth, and the how to eat to get healthy. You know, you follow the trends. You follow the trends because the baby boomers are the ones that are going to be spending their money, and it's the largest group of people. Well, here we come now with the millennials, and they are catching up to the baby boomers now. They're catching up. As many millennials have been born, almost as it was with the baby boomers. So what they are doing, praise be unto God, what they are doing is also now the trend, the major thing. You got to watch what they're doing. Churches all across the nation are changing how they do service and everything because the millennials are the ones that we're attracting now. This is the group that's following behind us, and we've got to attract them to the church, you know, to get them in the church so they can continue to take over and do what it is that they need to do. And so here we have it now, you know, prior to this whole thing about the witches, you know, you had the issues of people going to, the different cults, going to being Muslims and turning to the different religious sects, you know, and the different cults that there are out there competing with Christianity. And now we're in the day and stage now, an age where we're now, and I hate to say that we're competing with, but we're looking at dealing with witchcraft, dealing with that, the tarot card reading, just like she said, astrology. And there are definitely, you know, folks, I can't tell us how, when, where to do these things, but things dealing with yoga and some of the karate and so forth. And even though I know there's, you know, people have Christian karate and so forth, but the mainstay of things like this, these are subtle ways of getting spiritually these other religions or forms of meditation and so forth introduced into our lives, and we go along thinking that there's nothing wrong with it. And that's exactly what we are supposed to think, because the deceiver is deceiving us to the place of thinking there's nothing wrong with you doing that. There's nothing wrong with that. And so it is sneaking in bit by bit. And I'm telling you, my grandson, who is now 28 years old, he'll be 29 in November, a lot of his friends are yoga, meditation, dealing with, they're seekers. So they're dealing in a lot of the off side spiritualism, dealing with things that they believe is how they're getting closer to God. And we can no longer, y'all, and when I say closer to God, to us it would be God. To them it's this higher being, power, this higher power, how they can get closer to that. They like the mystique of it all. They like the magic of it all. You know, where we look for the miracles from God, what they're looking for is also a manifestation, but they're looking for it in the witchcraft, in the yoga, in the meditation, in the tarot cards, in fortune teller, and so forth. So our old idea of the witches with the crooked nose and riding on the broom and wearing a pointy hat, no, darling, the person sitting next to you at your job could be a witch. you know, the person that you're having lunch with, very people that you meet online, all normal looking. We all look good, look alike, whatever the case may be. And just the way you normally cannot tell what religion a person is by looking at them, except for the ones that wear their faith on their clothing. You know, by certain clothing, we're able to tell what religion some people are. But normally, without that, you can't look at me and tell whether I'm a Catholic, whether I'm Jewish, you know, or Hebrew, whatever the case. You can't tell that by looking at me. And that's the same way we can't tell that the person we're socializing with is a witch. Just like, you know, you're dealing with people of different nationalities, and we don't know who's a terrorist, you know, following the terrorist movement. We don't know who is it that's a KKK. You know, you can't tell that from the outer up there. You'd have to know them well enough, and some signs, some signals being dropped, or you finding something out that will let you know. Well, that's the way it is, again, here with the witches. And our youth, our millennials, they are there. They are there. They are learning in college that God does not exist. You know, they're learning the science of things that says, you know, that the Big Bang Theory and all this stuff. So there is so much pulling our babies away from God, pulling them away from God. And saints, let me say this, and Minister Tabik, I'm turning it back over to you in a second here, but let me say this. If we don't catch our children while they are young and get them, and I almost said get them in church, but let me say this, get them, first of all, start them at home. Start, you know, something, first of all, as simple as people saying prayers with their children, people saying the grace with their children. Do you realize, you know, my God, there are people, Christian people, that don't even bless their food before they eat. And if you knew some of the stuff that was going in your food, if you knew it, if you knew that some of the meats that you eat, you may think you're eating chicken, but you may be eating cat or dog. You know, if you knew that some of the people preparing your food are witches and soothsayers and all kinds of things, and they're pronouncing curses over your food. If you knew that the people that have been unclean, going to the restroom, then handling your food, people who have literally have spit in food, people that have had diseases and purposely contaminate your food, and then you sit down and you eat and you have not even asked God, you know, to protect you from any curse, anything that's been put in your food. And Christians are not teaching their children to say the grace, where no poison would harm us. Nothing that was put in that food would harm us. It would have no adverse effect on us, and so forth. And we don't even do this with our babies at home. So why do you think it's so easy when somebody else is willing to give them the attention and tell them and woo them and promise them things, you know? It's so easy for them to follow someone else because we're not stepping up. We're not taking it by the reins. We're not doing what we are supposed to do with our children, starting at home. And then we definitely don't do anything to make them come to church at those young ages. I heard Minister Tabika when she said that her son no longer attends church. But understand that that's a no longer attend. But the seed was planted in that boy when he was a young boy. The seed was planted in him the years that he spent at New Vision. And he hasn't forgotten those seeds. Praise be unto God. He hasn't forgotten those lessons. He reminds his mother every now and then, Mom, thank you. I remember when you did this and I remember when you did that. But he has chosen not to come to church. as a millennial. He has chosen not to come to church right now, and that's what he's doing right now. But we got to keep praying that every seed that was planted in him, that he's going to come across others that are going to water those seeds, and that he's going to find his way back to the house of the Lord. He's going to find his way back to his heavenly Father. You know, the world, they think he has them now. He may be tempted by those things. My grandson, tempted by those things. His friends, tempted by those things, even indulge in those things. But the prayers of the righteous availeth much. And we've got to go in, I'm telling you, saints of God, we have got to go in and we have got to cover our children and take our children back and pray them back under the covering, the shed blood of Jesus. Baby girl, it's in your hands. What do you think, sweetheart?
Amen, amen. Well, yes, ma'am. I agree with everything that you spoke about already. Just real quick, I want to open the line for those that are listening. If you have a comment or anything that you would like to share, please press 1 on your keypad, and we will open the line for you to share. Again, we would really like to hear from you all. If you if you have any millennials that you're in their presence on a daily basis, maybe not on a daily basis, but if you have conversation with millennials about Christianity or religion or whatever it is that pertains to God or what they believe, we would like to hear from you, because this is a discussion that is this is a really important discussion. Like, our millennials, we don't want them going in that direction, because listen, the millennials have this way of persuading other millennials. And so if the majority of them that, you know, they no longer believe in God anymore, they're moving away from that, and they're going into dark places with witchcraft and tarot cards and horoscopes and those type of things. If they could just get a few of their other peers just to join in with them, and they call it their own religion, you know, that's all it takes to basically infect the rest of them. So it's our responsibility as those that know, those that have a relationship with God. I mean, even if you're on this line and you don't have, you know, a relationship with God, you don't believe in God, you know, this is a time where we can't force you to believe in God. You know, that's something that you have to deal with, you and God. But at the same time, look at everything that's going on in the world right now. Look at the amount of young people that are dying on a daily basis. And it's not just here, you know, in Baltimore. It's not just here. Look at Chicago. You know, look at one weekend where all those, and I'm not sure the ages, but I believe the majority of them were young people, where it was like 75 people that were shot in one weekend or one day or something like that. Look at these things. Look how things that we used to say something about, how we close our mouths to it anymore, how we don't say, we turn the other way. You know, we don't hold people accountable. We're too afraid to say anything because, why, they may not like me anymore, or this, that, and the other. But these are our young people. These are the ones that are up next to lead, to lead the United States. What are we giving them? What do we have that we're not sharing with them? What is it that we know that could save their life, but we're not basically helping them lead a better life? What is it that we're doing? Again, we have to answer to God for all of these things, for knowing things and not sharing with them. And even and I'm gonna be transparent. It's even people at my job, you know, they talk about the signs and things, and I know. Do you think I opened my mouth yet? No, I have not. I have not even said to them, well, you know, this, that, and the other. What am I waiting for? And I'm gonna say, now I'm in a different place.
now I'm in a different place. Before, I was in a place caring about what people thought about me or what if they don't like me anymore, blah, 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 I can't say anything. You know, I really don't know what it is that I'm talking about, so I really can't say anything yet. See, that was all a trick of the enemy. But now I'm in a different place. I'm in a different place where I want to see somebody live more than if they don't like me anymore. But at least I shared what God told me to share, because, again, I had the answer to God because I knew. So because I'm in a different place, they will know. They will know. I'm making it my business that they will know I have the information and I know how to present information to people. So they will know. But, again, our young people, they're hurting. They're crying out. There's so many of them that grew up with nothing that, you know, turning to things like this, they don't see any harm in that. So, you know, the enemy, he mimics, you know, he tries to be like God in everything that he does. He tries to mimic God. So he will present things to them that look good but really aren't good for them. And so, you know, I just, and every time I see a young person, you know, I just wonder what it is that they're going through. You know, how what could I say to them? God, give me a word for them, a word that would touch their heart and that, you know, that would cause them to turn, you know, away from their ways right then and there. Not even one that where they would go home and think about it. I mean, right on the spot, God, where you would tell me to say something to them that would pierce their heart right at that moment. And they would just give up selling drugs. They would give up killing people. You know, they would give up being in the gang. Those type of life-changing experiences is what God wants us to do. But if as long as we just keep sitting and being comfortable and feeling like, you know, we're so afraid if we say something to them, they might kill us. You know, those type of things. I've been there. Oh, I don't want to say nothing because, you know, they so bad or, you know, they're so, they don't care about life anymore. They might crack me up upside of my head. But it's the way that you say things. It's the tone that in which you say it. And if it comes off judgmental, that's when they get upset. But if it comes across in a way that you can say, hey, look, I was there, you know, I know how it felt. Or I had a son that was in the same situation that you were, but he decided to follow Christ, and now his life is so much better. Those type of things, we cannot be afraid to confront the enemy. We cannot be afraid to open up our mouth, because out of your mouth might just save a life. And so we're in a place right now where we look back, not just how many of our young people died this year, but what about the previous years? There are a lot of young people in the grave right now that died with gifts that could have changed the world. But what are we doing? It's time. The time is now to help them come and be, you know, who God called them to be. Now, get this. Not all of them, and it's sad to say, but not all of them will decide to follow Christ. But if we can get just one, you know, just two, just three, if we could get, you know, a few, two, they will be willing to talk to the other ones. They will be willing to talk to, you know, their peers. They will be willing. All it is that many of them are lacking love. They've never been loved. And I think that's the answer to getting them to come back to Christ, or so that, you know, they're really big on people that are hypocrites. You know, if you're a hypocrite, oh, you can forget it. If you tell them to do something, but not to do something, but you're doing that, and then you say, well, I'm an adult and that gives me the right to do what I'm telling you not to do, you can forget that. They do not like that. And I can tell you, but my son was that way. If I would tell him to clean his room, and he looking at mine like, Ma, you telling me to clean my room, but your room is not all that great. I mean, to me, it came off as disrespect. But then I had to take a look at it. Like, I am the example.
I am the example. You know, I can't, I mean, I can, but as a parent, we have to continue, we have to lead by example. If we want our children to not do something or to be great, you know, we have to be great. We are setting the example for them. They are looking at us first before they venture out into the world. They see us first. They see us every day. They watch us every day. And when we think they're not watching the things that we do and the things that we say, if we are actually living that life, if you think they're not paying attention, then you're blinded, because they pay attention to everything we say, and then they watch to see if we follow it. And if we don't, it's sad to say that they start to lose respect. Yes, Apostle, back to you.
Amen. Listen, beloved, those of you that are on the line, if you have comments, please press 1 on your keypad. Share with us. We're all in this together. We're in this together. And there is, there is a way out of the dilemma. There is a way out of this dilemma. And it's, those things are going to be with us always, but there are those that we can still touch. There are those that will hear us and be delivered from these things that we are talking to. And as people are being delivered, as they are being made whole, as they're accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and so forth, they'll be walking in the power and the authority. When Minister Tabika, when she was saying, you know, it's the way that we present things and so forth, having God on our side, greater is he, the spirit of God that's in me, greater is he that is within me than he that is in this world. Greater. And it's coming to the place, you know, where we can't walk around in fear of what somebody might do to us. We have to put on the full armor. We've got to trust God. That means having 100% confidence in who he is and him shielding and protecting us, him providing for us. We've got to walk in this, and so that they will see the manifestation of the power of God through how God is using us, that they will see it, because they're looking for all of this mystique, you know, in the world. They're looking, you know, for power. They're looking for power, looking for the mystique. They're looking, you know, for answers and so forth. And Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. So again, if you're here on this line and you have something to comment on, please press 1 on your keypad so we can bring you into this conversation. We only have about 13 minutes left. So if you have something to share, we definitely want you to be open and to share. What do you have? What has God said to you during this conversation? What is being placed on your heart? And I know that Minister Tabika and myself, that we're not the only ones that have a concern about our youth being caught up in these things. We're not the only ones. So, again, if you have any comment, please press 1 on the your keypad. Now, last night I was looking at some things on the Internet, and remember when I said about how people are doing things to our food and we're not even saying the grace over the food, you know, and asking God to protect us, you know, as we're eating. Lord, I'm telling you, I saw something where even hairdressers are bewitching stuff when they do the coloring of your hair, and when they're doing braids and twists and locks and things that they put in your hair, that they are even putting curses and so forth. Working voodoo, hoodoo, and every other kind of do that they can, not just your hair do. They are doing all kinds of things that's causing you to react or say a certain way. They were using it, you know, to get people to turn against their mates or to do things with their children, people that have responsibilities in high places and political powers, and they're getting their hair done by people that are involved in witchcraft, Saints of God, I'm telling you, we have to put on the full armor of God. We've got to be anointed and know that we're covered in the blood of God. We've got to do this because daily somebody is looking for a way to get to us because of the fact that we love Jesus. And the fact that we love Jesus, the enemy hates us because he hates Jesus and he hates us. And whatever it takes, he'll make things look good. He'll make things feel good. He'll make things sound good. He'll do whatever he can to entice you. And if you are not sold out, if you are not sold out, that you will not be persuaded by this world's way, you won't be conformed to the trickery of the enemy, to the things of this world, you won't be enticed by it. You know, if you are not sold out, saints, we got work to do. We've got work to do, dying to ourselves, dying to this flesh every day to the point that, God, I just want to eat and breathe you. I, being hungry for God, it doesn't matter about the materialistic things and so forth, and being famous myself and promoting me and so forth. No, it's all about Jesus. It is about him. And saints, we have got to get better at what we're doing. Too many churches are filled with carnal Christians. Too many leaders are not preaching the truth and the word of God. Too many folks are going to church just out of tradition. It's just like they go to work Monday through Friday because they have to go to work, you know, so that they can get their money, so that they can pay their bills. Well, they were brought up in church, so it's part of the thing. It's part of your schedule for the week. So you go to church and you're not a bit more getting anything, and you're not doing anything with what you do here, and so forth, and you go home and you can check that off your list. I did that for the week, okay? So I'm getting my weekly obligations taken care of. Honey, that is not what church is about. It is not what church is about, I'm telling you. So I'm sorry that none of you decided, you know, not to comment, and it's okay. To God be the glory, to God be the glory. But just know, saints of God, just know, praise, we do have a caller that's going to comment. Good morning, beloved. Your last four digits are 5502. Good morning to you.
Yeah, hi, good morning. I just wanted to add or just give an example. That happened to me, what you said about going to the hairdresser. And I was just going to add, I got on the call late, so I don't know if you talked about discernment earlier or not, but it's important to be discerning. And I discerned and knew that lady was a witch, but I went ahead anyway, and I shouldn't have let her cut my hair. Sometimes when you discern and the witchcraft comes on you, you can pray it away in a minute or two, but this lady was some serious warfare. It took me like an hour or two or three to pray through that stuff. So we need to be discerning to know who, what is around us, because if I had followed the discernment I had, I would have saved myself from that. So I know that the witches and the people are out here, and we just need to know and see. If we're discerning, we need to be more discerning. And if nobody has discernment very much, they need to pray and ask God for that.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so very much. Thank you so very much. Now, thanks to God, let me say this. Let me say this with what our sister said. You know, it was the Holy Spirit, as far as I am concerned. It was the Holy Spirit that led me to see that and end up mentioning it just a few minutes before we're going off the air. And my sister here came on the air late, and God had me mention that, and here she experienced it. You know, I don't think anything is by coincidence. I don't think anything is by coincidence. Beloved, please let me say thank you so very much for sharing that with us. It's important for people to understand that Minister Tabika and myself, that we're not just talking to talk, you know, that this is happening. And I thank you for letting folks know that it has happened to you. Praise God that you have, that you were delivered and from that, you know, whole witchcraft thing that that woman did. Woman and or man, whoever it was, thank God that you knew how to pray and get set free. God bless you. Thank you again for your comment. Amen. Discerning spirits. Beloved Joyce, praise be unto God. How are you this morning, sweetheart?
Fine, thank you, Apostle. I just wanted to say the reason I don't push the button is because I'm sitting here sucking up this knowledge, okay? We need more.
Yes.
I'm grateful and thankful that you are opening up the subject so that we know even to ask questions, or we know even to even think in this quadrant. So I hope that you'll do more. I hope that Minister Tabika will give us more on this next week or week after or whatever, so that we have some knowledge of it.
That's amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for saying that, and it definitely encourages us to continue on, and we will do some more research. And I again thank you for that, and that's why I said in the beginning of this, this is something that we all don't have a lot of knowledge about, but we better start getting. Thank you. The Holy Spirit just dropped the scripture in. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. You perish, we perish for a lack of knowledge. And so we've got to learn. We've got to be educated. And I, again, with the discerning of spirits, the discerning of spirits, saints of God, that's something that is something that we must pray for, that we're able to discern. You can walk into a place, you know, and feel even in the atmosphere that something is wrong. And that's why what I'm telling you, people, don't eat where you see where there are artifacts of things that would represent witchcraft to you. Don't eat there. You have no idea what it is you're getting yourself into. Do not eat there. Be mindful when you're getting your hair done. You know, in the places that you're going to, be mindful. Pray. Cover yourself. Cover yourself before you let anyone, because, you know, and this sister said she know that she knew when she walked in and the woman got started that there was something there, but she didn't stop. And she went on, and then it took her, you know, an hour or more, or hours, you know, to pray that stuff off of herself. So let us get on our jobs. Let us get on our job. I can't say that enough. Please, let's not be mediocre in what it is we're doing. This is not about just us. It is not about being saved and getting to the place we're saved so we're not going to hell, and that's the end of it. That's all you were concerned about, that you weren't going to hell. Every last one of us that got saved, we got assignments on our lives that we are to share and help other people. We are to share the good news about God Almighty, what Jesus Christ has done for us. We are in a race. We're in a race, and we must continue to press on, because time is drawing nigh. Time is drawing nigh. Beloveds, I'm telling you, it is something else. It is something else. So let us do what God has anointed us to do, what He has called us to do, what He has appointed for us to do. Let us go forth. Oh, beloved, you want to say something? Because we're winding down. We got 90 seconds.
No, ma'am. I'm good. Everything that, you know, I'm really grateful that we did discuss this today, and I'm really hoping that people start to, like Ms. Joyce said, you know, stuff that they didn't have any clue about, or they weren't thinking about,
And she said that she was soaking up the knowledge, you know, amen, amen. Mm-hmm. That's why we come on Saturdays, to give information, because we want to see our people flourish and we want to see our people feel comfortable, you know, to speak to someone else about these topics that we speak about on Saturdays. And so I'm just thankful that people are really listening. People are, that the information mm-hmm. that we're bringing, you know, is just not information that's basically just something to talk about and it's not helping anyone.
Amen, amen. So thank you, my love. Thank you, my love, for bringing the topic up as you were doing research for what we should speak about today. And thank mm-hmm. you for bringing this into the table. I love
amen.
You. I praise God for you and for all of you that are here on this line. Hey, look, share with somebody. Get back to us again next week, next Saturday, 9 o'clock. Come back, bring a friend, and know that here on Heart to Heart, we get to the heart of the matter. God bless you all. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Heart to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.